on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine hammered.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
28 to 10, and I reckon this bloke could still be on a high as well. And I'm talking about Dave Carlton. He was the Meadows Saturday night to see two spectacular performances. Morning, Dave.
Good morning to you, Sean. Great to see you too, Cozzy. You must have enjoyed the night.
Oh, mate, what a night. It was just unbelievable. And fair to Bale, I reckon we all had our heart in our mouth at the 600 boxes. I looked for a moment and thought, oh, no. But by gee, what a ticker.
Absolutely. She is amazing. I had my Fanta Bale flag. They had the Winx flags in Sydney at Randwick. I had my Fanta Bale flag, and I'll tell you what, I was waving it. It was flapping like a helicopter about to head back to your place from the track. All right. Good morning and welcome to Going Greyhounds. And as we've mentioned, it was a magnificent night at the Meadows on Saturday night. The $250,000 to the winner Group 1 Australian Cup taken out in scintillating style by Hecton Bale from Box 8. Not an easy assignment drawing the pink in any Group 1. And as Sean and I have mentioned as well, in the other Group 1, the Sky Racing Superstayers final, history was made with the champion Fanta Bale becoming the highest ever prize money earner. Her gutsy victory taking her $1.365 million. Paul Wheeler's just about to join us. He owns Fanta Bale and Hecton Bale and yesterday's Auckland Cup winner Dirk Bale. So really looking forward to having him on. We're also going to wrap up the heat to the Group 2 Richmond Derby and the Group 2 Richmond Oaks from Friday night, which featured some outstanding chasing. And we'll head across the Tasman to Pete Fenimore for the full story on the two Group 1s at Manukau, the Auckland Cup and the Railway Sprint. A reminder while I'm here too that nominations for the Golden Easter Egg Heats, which are going to be run on Saturday week at Wentworth Park, close this Thursday, while nominations for the Magic Maiden close this Friday. And what about last night at Ipswich? In an unbelievable mix-up, two dogs trained by Keith Bowen went around in the wrong races, with Western Comet running in race one when it should have been in race two, and little brother Westmead Comet going around in race two when it should have been in race one. Both dogs were disqualified. We'll have more on that on the catching pen tomorrow night, and what turned out to be a tough night for Ipswich, races then had to be put back due to power problems. Well, it's been a massive weekend for Australia's leading breeder and owner, Paul Wheeler, who owned both Group 1 winners at the Meadows, along with a Group 1 Auckland Cup winner in New Zealand. Paul's on the line. Paul, not a bad 24 hours for you.
Yeah, real good. Wouldn't mind a few more.
Well, Paul, let's start with Fanta Bale. She's by 2012 Top Gun winner David Bale from American Dam, You See Me Typhoon. What an absolute champion she is.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Like I can recall in the days of Winifred Bale when she was the highest earner in Australia at $100,000, and now we've got three greyhounds over $1 million with this girl leading the pack now at $1,365,000, which is, you wouldn't have even believed that possible sort of 10 years ago, you know?
Well, you've owned all greyhounds that have topped the million mark, the others being the mighty Fernando Bale and Dinah Double One. Do you have a particular favourite out of that trio?
Not really. They're all unique in their different racing styles. Probably with Fanta Bale, she's won group races over all three distances, which is, I think, just about unheard of. But she's really shaping up as a super duper stayer, has done for a while. But I've seen her run her races either in front or behind, and I sort of heard someone comment there that they had their heart in their mouth when they got back to the 600 boxes at the Meadows on Saturday night, and so did I. I thought she was gone, and she just knows how to dig in and keep going.
Yeah, well, look, she's won nine Group 1s, which is just amazing. As you mentioned, over the sprint, the middle and the staying distance. Did she show you anything out of the ordinary, Paul, when she was being broken in?
Yeah, she actually broke in looking like she was going to be a terrific sprinter. And it's unusual. When a greyhound breaks in and ends up being a stayer, they usually break in moderately because they haven't got a lot of early pace. They're sort of more a stronger type racing dog. But this girl broke in as and looked really good as a sprinter. So for her to go on and do these sort of things over the distance is most unusual. And even Robert Britton said that if he trials her 500, she'll run invitation grade times over 500.
Wow. But, I mean, Paul, that ability to sprint has been a massive asset for her over the 700 because they come at her like they did on Saturday night, but, and then she just lifts and she breaks the hearts of her rivals at the business end.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, I actually thought she was going to get done. I thought, this is it. They've come up to her too close. I thought she'd get out and lead by 6 or 8 lengths and then cruise to the finish, but they caught her at the 600, so she still had to go for another 100, 150 metres, and they were right on a hammer. And at one stage, one of them got within half a length of her. And I thought, well, OK, we'll run on the place isn't too bad, but she just digs deep and keeps going.
Are we going to see her in Sydney? Are the heats of the Association Cup over the 700 at Wentworth Park are on the second night of the Golden Easter Egg Series on Saturday, the 24th of March?
I'm not 100% sure because I leave all of that, the planning, up to the trainers. It's up to the trainers to be able to program dogs racing so as they can trial them properly and all that. So I leave that completely up to the trainers to look after, you know. But at this stage of the game, there's a big one coming up at Sandown later in the year. That may be her last race start. We're sort of talking about that at the moment.
Okay, well, we'll miss her when she's off the track. We love her. And Paul,
Well, she's 3.5 now, and usually most greyhounds, especially females, if they've got any sort of ability, they come back around that age, you know. So for her to kick on and be at her peak at 3.5 is most unusual.
We've seen so many great chases you've had. Like Zylia Allen is another one of my favourites. And, you know, does it give you a greater thrill winning at the highest level over a journey as compared to a sprint race?
Well, not really. I remember when Fernando was in the Adelaide Cup, and if he won that, he was going to be over the $1 million. Well, the place was packed, and as soon as he hit the first turn and he was in front, the crowd started to scream like he'd already won the race.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So once you get to that quality of dog and you get along and see the following that they get at the races, it's enormous. It doesn't matter if it's a sprinter or a stayer, but certainly with one that's done as much as what Fand has done, it's very exciting.
Just getting back to Fernando Bale, the way that he used to crouch in the boxes like a 100-metre Olympic champion sprinter, I just used to love that. And some of his progeny do exactly that. I've seen quite a few of them. Even Fernando Express, I saw do that the other night. It's just I don't know whether it's a chip off the old block, but it's just a wonderful trait to have.
Certainly is. Like a front runner in greyhound racing, whether it's sprint or distance, is always a benefit because you don't have to negotiate and get around dogs in front of you. You know, I think that's where Fand has done very good, that she's got the ability to be a front running stayer. But even with Fernando, if you have a look at his first 3 or 4 starts, you would never have picked him to go on to do what he had done. He looked very average, very ordinary, and it took probably 4 or 5 starts for the penny to drop with him. And once he learned how to get out and how to race and all the bits and pieces with it, he went on to do what he did. And as you say, he's doing enormous as a sire with Hecton Bale winning the big one on Saturday and Dirk Bale, the Auckland Cup. I think he had 5 winners on Saturday night at the Meadows. So he's certainly shaping up as a very, very interesting sire.
And such a young sire to have so many winners already, Paul.
Yeah, I'm getting feedback all over the place. There was another one of ours, a female called Dinah Patty, first started Sandown on Sunday afternoon, actually, yep. 29.65 as a maiden, that Fernando Bale female. So they're winning all over the place.
Well, let's talk about Hecton Bale, who won Saturday night's other group, won the Australian Cup, Paul. Fernando Bale, Searle Bale, as you said. Gave Andrea Daly her fourth win in the race as a trainer. Won by 5 lengths. Personal best, 29.53 from a tough draw in the eight. It was absolutely sizzling, his win. Were you confident at all about drawing the pink?
No. Off what Andrea had told me, he's a little bit tardy early. They were concerned that he may get mixed up in a scrimmage at the first turn, but as it worked out, the dogs inside of him sort of went to the rail and gave him a bit of a clear run, and when he went in the second position, I thought, geez, this looked pretty good. And he can run like the wind, that fella. Like, I think Alan Deed holds the record there at 29.35, and he's run 53 as a young dog, which is only... Well, it's less than 2/10 outside the record, which was about a length and a half, length and a three quarters. So that's enormous for a young dog.
He's also he's run 29 and 29 at Sandown. Could he be the next big thing in greyhound racing, Paul?
Well, he could be. He could end up stepping up in distance. The way he runs, and apparently his run home time the other night was enormous.
Yep.
I had several people comment to me on that. So if he steps up a distance, he could end up either being a really top-notch 600 or 700-metre dog as well. He could follow along in Fanta's footsteps in being a really good dog over more than one distance.
Yeah, he smashed the 12-second mark by plenty with the run home the other night. And what about Dirk Bale? Let's go across the Tasman. We're going to speak to Pete Fenimore shortly, but he was never headed in the Group 1 Auckland Cup from box six, and Craig Roberts has done a terrific job with him there.
Yeah, he has. I watched that race, and he went tremendous. As you say, he led all the way. And the dog that ran third is Alan Ablett, which is a little brother to him, both Fernando Bale dogs. And he ran a tremendous race. He got, I think he came from box five, and he got in a fair bit of trouble. He got knocked back in the field a bit, and he had to work his way through to run third. So he's done a tremendous effort too. But yeah, no. Once you get to that quality of race, you're really up against the best dogs in the land at that time, and it's a real big effort to get out and win. And for greyhounds like Fanta and that to win as many as they do is exceptional.
Yeah. Well, Paul, your magnificent breeding complex at Boorowa near Young in New South Wales has produced many champions. How much are you breeding now, say, compared to 3 years ago?
Well, we've reduced our breeding by about 50%. I'm a little bit disappointed in the way the industry's gone, and I'm getting to the stage in life where I don't want to work as hard as I have, so we've decreased our breeding by 50% and just cruising along, taking a bit easy, you know.
Do you think we can get greyhound racing back to the halcyon years, particularly in New South Wales?
I think there's got to be change in the leadership, the way the leadership thinks. The rules and regulations they're bringing in, I think they're strangling the life out of it. So I think they've got to rethink the way they're over-regulating the industry.
Well, yeah, the new bosses, Tony Mestrov and Dale Brown, I've certainly got a lot of confidence in them, but there's still a lot of fear and loathing and also suspicion in New South Wales. And I guess, Paul, that's only my opinion, but you know, I think we must be very vigilant of the antis. They're trying to infiltrate by stealth. They're mad. They're ill-informed views. They're like a cancer. If they could get their own way, we'd all be living, and so would our animals, be living on alfalfa sprouts.
That's right. The attitude that it appears to be to me with these people is you can live life any way you like so long as it's their way.
Yep.
And in a free country, everyone's got to have the right to do as they want, whether it's racing pigeons, greyhounds or horses, you know, and... I think the people with the animals realise that, but these other people, I just scratch my head in amazement with some of the things they come out with, actually.
Yeah, we just got to keep an eye on them because you know what they're like, these mad leftards. As I say, they'll try and infiltrate and they'll try and get in by stealth, maybe under another banner, and then they'll try and make it hard for the participants. But look, I certainly hope that we have many wheeler bred chasers for many years to come. I can't imagine a greyhound industry without them, Paul. I mean, look, you place your greyhounds in just about all states and in New Zealand, and you support many trainers.
Yeah, we do, and what I don't think a lot of people realise is that, yeah, our dogs do win a lot of money, but 50% of all the money they win goes to the trainers. So, for argument's sake, those races in Victoria, 50% of that money is staying in Victoria. And in New Zealand with Craig Roberts, exactly the same. 50% of that money stays in New Zealand. So we get 50% back to support our operation here, but 50% stays where the dogs are located with the trainers. So it's good revenue going back into those various areas as well. So it's good for the industry all round.
Well, Paul, it was tremendous to see you and also Jan back on track at the Meadows on Saturday night. Congratulations to both of you, also Brendan, Nicole and the little ones. Look forward to seeing you again and giving up your time on Going Greyhounds. Really appreciate it this morning.
It's a pleasure, Dave.
Good on you, Paul. Paul Wheeler there. Paul owning the two Group 1 winners in Australia at the Meadows on Saturday night and the Group 1 winner at Manukau in Auckland yesterday afternoon. Now, Friday night just gone, the Richmond Derby heats were run. The first heat went to Aston Frankel for Paula Bella from Big Black in 30 and 64. Heat 2 was won by Aston Duke in 30 and 59 for Jason McKay with Wild Walter second. Hone In for Brett Bravo won Heat 3 by a head in a thriller from Morris Minor in 30 and 82, while Two Times Twice for Johnny Finn took out the fourth and final heat in the quickest time of 30 and 48 from Aston It Is. Aston It Is giving Paula Bella two finalists. Now, the box draw for Friday night's Richmond Derby is Aston Duke in 1, Aston Frankel 2, Hone In 3, Wild Walter 4, Morris Minor 5, Aston It Is 6, Two Times Twice 7, Big Black 8, the reserves, Crash Bandicoot and Irinka Milo. Now, the four heats of the Richmond Oaks were also run with Miss Splendorimo for Hank Vandenberg winning the first in 30 and 46 from She's My Chickie. My Country for Neil Staines taking out Heat 2 in 30 and 63 from Little Nangar. Blue Sky Riot for Anthony as a Party, setting the time standard with 30 and 44 in Heat 3, quicker than the Derby mark, defeating last year's runner-up Uphill Jill, while Two Times Twice's litter sister Poco Dorado gave John Finn a finalist in both big features, getting up in the last stride to beat Chase the Cash in 30 and 76. Now, the box draw for the Richmond Oaks final is Poco Dorado in 1, She's My Chickie 2, Uphill Jill 3, Little Nangar 4, My Country 5, Chase the Cash 6, Miss Splendorino 7, Blue Sky Ride in 8, Bogan Dooney and My Little Mate are the reserves. Okay, well, we spoke to the owner of two of the Group 1 winners on Saturday night at the Meadows. Now we're going to speak to the trainer of Fanta Bale, and let's turn back the clock to Saturday night for the Group 1 Superstayers final with the champ Fanta Bale jumping from box 1.
Fanta Bale out fast on the inside. Magic Horn at speed. Just in behind them there came Quick Jagger. They'll put it next by Rippin' Sam, and then came Sharp Diamond. Three lengths away then came Azkaban, followed by Boltwife Beckham. About 10 lengths away to Mix Angel. Down the straight with a lap to go. Fanta Bale's leader, two in front. Quick Jagger is second. Three or four lengths away then came Magic Horn at racing third. Going up on the inside, Sharp Diamond, followed by Rippin' Sam. A gap in the race into Azkaban and Boltwife Beckham. Down the back, Fanta Bale the leader, being pressed by Quick Jagger on the outside. Fanta Bale and Quick Jagger there, four or five lengths clear over Sharp Diamond, Magic Horn and Rippin' Sam. Up to the turn, Fanta Bale on the inside and Quick Jagger, they turn for home clear. Sharp Diamond's coming down the outside with a big run. Fanta Bale in front, 9 Group 1s and the stake earnings record, and Fanta Bale wins it from Quick Jagger, Rippin' Sam.
Great call from Ronnie Hawks. Well, Fanta Bale clocking 43 and 62, becoming the highest prize money earner in history after one of the gutsiest victories I've ever seen. Winning trainer Robbie Britton is on the line. Rob, congrats. She just does have the heart of a lion.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Halfway through the race, it looked like she might have, succumbed to the pressure, but she just kept the head down, kept chasing. So it was an amazing effort.
Yeah, I was at the starting boxes with James Vandermeer and your handler, Pete Riley, and we're all looking at each other. We were watching behind them as they went down the back straight for the final occasion, with Quick Jagger eyeballing her at the end of the back straight, and then Sharp Diamond looming up, turning for home. How are you feeling at that point?
Well, to be quite honest, I wouldn't want it over again. I really thought that Quick Jagger probably, if he got to the front of her, in front of her by a length, she probably would have been in trouble. But she just kept beside him. So I think that made all the difference. That when they turned for home, her staying powers, you know, just got her over the line.
Saturday night's win was her ninth Group 1, fittingly at the Meadows, which hosts 9 Group 1s each year. And many people I've spoken to said Fantabale is the best greyhound to grace a track. Now, look, you can't compare different eras. You just can't. That is, you know, with the mighty Zoom Top, who also dominated over several distances. But surely, Rob, she's up there.
Oh, look, she's just... amazing dog, and she's got to be up there somewhere. I've never rated her as the fastest dog I've ever had, but she's just a true professional and gets the job done. And, you know, we've only ever entered her in 10 Group 1s, and she's won 9 of them. And, you know, I've got to shake my head at that. I just can't believe you've had, you know, like, I always think it's very hard even to get into a Group 1, let alone win 9 out of 10.
Too right. Well, her Group 1s have been in 2016, the Hume Cup, in 2017, the Rookie Rebel, the Australian Cup, the Sandown Cup, the Albion Park Gold Cup, the National Distance Championship, and the Bold Trees. And in 2018, this year, the Zoom Top, and now the Group 1 Australian Superstayers. Is there any particular race out of those 9 Group 1 wins that you hold closest to your heart?
I would say the Sandown Cup was always a great win, because it's a race that I consider the premier staying race. And also, I found it very hard to win. So for her to win it, she had to come over the hoodoo that I've got on it. So, but as I say, and not only that, she came from behind for the first time. So it sort of gave us a big thrill.
Are you bringing her to Sydney, Rob, for the forthcoming Association Cup heats?
Yeah, look, as long as everything's going to plan, Dave, and she's fit and well, we'll look to go to Sydney and have a go at the Association Cup. And I think I spoke to Paul Wheeler the other day, and our plan is to see if we can get to the Sandown Cup again this year in May. And if that happens, that'd be great. But as I said, she's done more than we've ever expected. So if the form drops off, it won't worry me. We'll just pull the pin.
Rob, kennelmate Rip and Sam finished fourth to Fantabale on Saturday night. But, look, he never really looked comfortable racing on the inside of Sharp Diamond.
No, you're right, David. He's still learning the trade. And, you know, once time there, he didn't want to take the gap. Then he went to the outside of the dog. And another time, he ran up backsides. You know, like, that's probably the difference at the moment. You can see that he oozes ability, and, you know, even if he got through there, he still probably would have won the race. But he's got to learn to race in the field, and that'll only come through experience. And the more racing he gets, and I'm certain it'll happen. But again, he hasn't got the race smarts that Fantabale's got at the moment.
Well, I hope you're bringing him to Sydney too, Rob.
Yeah, certainly, Dave. We'll bring him, and you know, look, he needs to start to travel and start to learn. You know, I always believe that once they start get on the road and start to travel, they tend to grow up a bit.
Yep.
And they mature. So I do think it'll help him.
Rob, Ginali won the Group 3 maiden final for you on Saturday night. Oh, I was talking through my pocket, but boy, what a win. Dominated from box 1 in 30 and 29. Her win must have been very pleasing for you, knowing that she's had to come back from a pretty serious shoulder injury.
Yeah, look, she has, Dave, and since she's come back, she's never ever put time on the clock. But prior to her injury, she was a really, really high-performance bitch that we thought was, well, put it this way, her brother, Benali's run 29-20-something at Sandown, and she was clearly better than him. And so we haven't seen that in her yet. We haven't seen, since she's come back from a serious injury, the time on the clock, so I'm sort of hoping it'll happen. If it happens eventually, I think she could be a very, very good greyhound.
Well, Rob, congratulations on a fantastic night. You trained a winning treble, including the Group 1 with Fanta Bale. And just before you go, for the Magic Maiden at Wentworth Park coming up and the Golden Easter Egg, who are you going to head north with?
Well, the only dog I've really got that's in form would be probably Fernando Express, who raced in the Derby final. He's been around there. So, look, we've got a couple of dogs here that just... They're a little bit down on confidence, and I'm a bit reluctant to bring them. So he's the only dog at the moment that I would I'd probably be bringing for the sprint races.
Well, Rob, thanks very much for your time on Going Greyhounds, as always. Congratulations. It's a bit of a regular occurrence that we speak to you. The kennel's absolutely flying, and it was terrific to see you on Saturday night. And have a good week.
Good on you. Thanks, Dave. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you, Robbie. There is Robbie Britton. Okay, now... we're about to head across the Tasman to Auckland. I mean, we have greyhound racing everywhere, and we just love it. I mean, I was even disappointed when Perry Barr got called off the other night because of the Beast from the East, as they're calling it in the United Kingdom. The Beast from the East, and greyhound meetings being called off left, right, and centre. I'm not too sure if we've got Pete Fenimore on the line. We haven't. We haven't got Pete from New Zealand. I don't know what's happened to him because he was expecting our call. I know that he was up with a number of owners quite late in Auckland overnight. But anyway, the Group 1 Auckland Cup and the Group 1 Railway Sprint were run and won yesterday, as we spoke to Paul Wheeler about. Dirk Bale, trained by Craig Roberts, dominated from box number 6. And Pete is on the line. Pete, I thought you might have been having a snooze after your big night.
No, the week must carry on, Dave, but no, fantastic weekend overall of racing. And just before we start on the Auckland part, I've got to acknowledge Trackside TV over this side of the ditch. They really stuck for that Meadows coverage from Saturday night, carried a lot of your interviews, and it was fantastic viewing and racing.
Oh, that's terrific. So Sky Racing going out over New Zealand, that's fantastic. Yeah, it was a wonderful night. But, Pete, what about Dirk Bale yesterday? 30.06 the time, all the way straight out of box 6, best time of the day in the Group 1.
Pace, serious pace, early pace there, Dave, and that's what won it for Dirk Bale. Craig Roberts had freely admitted he wasn't the strongest of the three litter brothers. Of course, the three Fernando Bale litter mates, so all racing the cup yesterday. He tends to sit down a bit towards the end, you know, the business end of his races. He certainly didn't look like that yesterday. As you said, Dave, he flew from that sixth trap. It was game, set and match at that point. Very tidy 30.06. Chalet Palais, Dave and Jean Fay and the owners were across here yesterday. Very gallant in running second, and Dirk Bale's litter brother Alan Abbott, very strong third, but fantastic result, fantastic, you know, just brilliant. You know, the Fernando Bales are just, you know, I know they're cleaning up on your side of the Tasman, but on our side, just unheard of. Those three litter brothers, between them, they've won $225,000 since being in New Zealand, and that's phenomenal money.
It certainly is. It's good money for the prize money in NZ. And what about the Group 1 Railway Sprint over the dash over the 318 metres yesterday at Manukau, Pete? Rosa T for Ray Adcock also led all of the way, this time from box 5.
She pinged that lid from the 5 trap, and the 318 metre road dash was all over at that point. Ray Adcock, look, he's a Hall of Fame trainer in New Zealand. We call him a doyen, and he's 84 years of age, Dave. Last 2 weeks, he's trekked up from his Christchurch base. You know, it's an 18-hour one-way trip.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's a genius. But no, Rosa T, yeah, she won it by 3 lengths and a very smart 18 and 24. A couple of the outsiders, Alexa Tex and Obstinatus, Phil the Miners. A couple of the favoured runners, she's a ripper, of course, Australian owned, and Danny D. Likewise, they got jammed up early, and their race was all over, but full credit to Rosa T and Ray Adcock.
Yeah, fantastic day yesterday. Great racetrack. I love Manukau. Pete, when are the next big races coming up in New Zealand?
The New Zealand Derby, and that's on the eve of Good Friday. That's the Group 1. And yes, I can confirm Dirk Bale, Alan Abbott, and Avenger Bale, along with Shalei Apalai, will all be at the Cambridge Raceway. It's a one turn track, 457 metre race, and at Group 1 level.
Oh, good stuff, Pete. Well, you're in Auckland, and you know, you're not that far from the airport, so can you get that box ready and packed up for the Bledisloe Cup? Because we'll be taking... No, I spoke to Matty Burke, who was on the Big Sports Breakfast earlier on, the esteemed former Wallabies fullback, and he said, get it shined up, New Zealand. It's coming back to Australia.
No chance, mate. No chance whatsoever. You know, the was it the Super 14 Trophy, Bledisloe Cup, the Four Nations, the Rugby World Cup? They're all in their rightful place on the side of the ditch, mate.
Cricket? Anything to say about the cricket?
Pardon? Yeah, is it cricket on?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Got him, yes. Got him. No, anyway, Pete, as always, thank you so much for keeping us up to date with some great greyhound racing from New Zealand, and we'll continue to see plenty of it on Sky Racing. Thanks for being a guest.
Cheers, Dave. Look, absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for your coverage.
Good on you, Pete. Pete Fenimore there, and that wraps up another Going Greyhound show. Sean, the Catching Pen tomorrow night, 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. Myself, Jason Lincoln, and James Vandermart will be back on deck.